Everything in life has a more sinister and darker side than what's perceived on the surface. Every piece of media you consume has something lurking in the shadows of the person or team who made it. Every movie, every song, every book that you've enjoyed, all has a dark past in some form. But out of all of those, it seems that video games have the capability to house some of the most dark and twisted parts of the creator's mind. From obvious inclusions like Silent Hill's PT, to the most light-hearted games such as Mario, we will pluck every strand of every creepy and twisted mystery these games have to offer. This is The Dark Side of Gaming. Tonight, I want to tell you about Jed Sanderson, or Mod Jed as he's known to the old-school RuneScape community, and how he allegedly made his fortune by stealing virtual gold from unsuspecting gamers. Since he's not yet been convicted in a court of law, we can't state it as fact, but you can decide what to believe at the end. Now, to understand what happened with Jed, you'll need to understand the game. In 2001, a company called Jagex introduced the world to RuneScape, a fantasy, massively multiplayer online role-playing game that takes place in the medieval world of Galenor. It's divided into kingdoms and cities, all with different resources and challenges. Like most RPGs, you begin by learning and leveling up various skills to build your character, which will require lots of gold. To earn gold, you can complete quests in the wilderness. You can win it from other players in the duel arena, or you can purchase it for real money. Many pay simply to progress through the early stages more quickly, but at nearly £1 per 1 million gold, this can get very expensive. For those who can't afford to purchase their gold legitimately, there's the black market, a cheap but risky way to purchase gold from other players. We could do a whole episode on that alone, but we'll save it for another day. Once the game grew in popularity, this version was renamed RuneScape Classic, while the sequel was simply known as RuneScape. The Classic version could also be an episode unto itself, as it would go on to have serious cheating problems that ultimately led to more than 5,000 accounts being banned in a single day in 2006. They made numerous attempts to get it under control, even going so far as to forbid the creation of new accounts for the next 3 years. But the game was finally shut down in 2018. RuneScape 3 was released in the fall of 2013, and the game became available for smart devices, but it couldn't compete with the old-school version that was released earlier that year. Old-school RuneScape is actually a 2007 version of the game Jagex decided to release in response to the drastically declining player base. The pay-to-play version was released that February, with the free-to-play version following in 2015, and it is by far the most popular of the series. Many features have been added over the years, including cash prize tournaments, and there are countless fans who would love to see it officially named an eSport. Anyway, without further ado, we can talk about Jed. His tale begins on a small farm in the UK where he was raised. With what little time he wasn't at school or helping his parents, he was playing old-school RuneScape. It's rumored that while in high school, Jed came up with a plan to earn enough money for college. All he needed to do was hack other players' accounts and steal their gold. The only thing standing in his way was just not knowing how to do it. By that time, he was already working with a small team of Venezuelan gold farmers. Jobs and resources are scarce in their country, and they spend all day, every day, fighting bosses in the wilderness to earn as much gold as possible. That's how they feed their families. Most aren't able to simply create bot farms to do all the work. They're forced to do it the old-fashioned way, and it can take months for a new account to reach decent earning potential. The game itself takes time to build a strong profile, but they have other obstacles to overcome as well. The internet is much slower than what we are accustomed to, and they can't afford new computers or tablets. They make do with what they have, which are very often old devices in need of repair. If this wasn't hard enough, they also experience long-term power outages. Some have reported losing electricity multiple times a month for up to 10 hours a day, and all they can do is wait for restoration. These factors make it especially devastating when one of the accounts is banned, which can happen quite often. The more I learn about them, the more I think this game could have its own series, because this topic could be an episode unto itself. Jed had worked out an agreement with one of these groups where he would sell their earnings at the black market and keep 25% of the profits for himself. Though he didn't earn the kind of money he wanted, he was able to afford online college classes. While working towards earning a computer science degree, he came into contact with the well-known clan Reign of Terror, or ROT. These guys were already known as assholes even before they participated in the crimes that we're about to discuss. It's no surprise they were impressed with Jed's gold farming business, or that he happily accepted their invitation to join. Choosing the right clan and forming alliances is one of the most important aspects of RuneScape. By today's standards, this concept is basically universal among MMORPGs. In most games, serious clans pride themselves on reputation and just being all-around pillars for the community. But those seem to be few and far between here. Yet again, this topic alone could be an entire episode. Once he finished school, Jed was able to perfect his master plan. He wanted to secure a job at Jagex and cheat the system from the inside. The ROT leaders loved this idea, and he applied to the company with their delighted support. In 2015, he was hired as a junior content developer, and his own personal reign of terror began. With almost no precautions in place to protect against rogue employees, he could supposedly hack into players' accounts and steal anything he wished. This is a good place to remind you that none of these things have been proven in a court of law, and I'm only summarizing speculation gathered from the community. But it's widely believed one of the accounts Jed used for his more nefarious dealings was Cheeky Alerb, or at the very least, it was an account owned by one of his friends. He quickly gained a reputation in the wilderness for being a DDoSer, to the point other players would warn his potential victims when they saw him. DDoSing is when you use a person's IP address to temporarily interrupt their internet service, effectively booting them from the game. Obviously, it's against the rules, but it's very hard to physically prove that someone is doing it. In the wilderness, the entire area is a combat zone. The deeper you travel, the more difficult it will become. There are other players and bosses to defeat along the way, but we're focusing on the PvP aspect. If you are actively fighting another player when you're booted from the game, you lose the match and your possessions to them. There are only two ways Cheeky could have another player's IP address. Either a massive leak was posted to a website somewhere, or a moderator was getting it from the server in real time. A streamer called Wiggled was able to put Cheeky to the test by signing into his account from a friend's house. If the information had been leaked, Cheeky would have no way of knowing the player was using a different internet source and would therefore be unable to DDoS him. If Cheeky somehow had live access to the game server, Wiggled would be booted. As planned, he was easily able to get back into the game and bait Cheeky into another attack, and sure enough, he was thrown from the game. That itself may not be evidence that Jed is or was involved with Cheeky, but it is proof the hacker possessed live access to any player's IP address. While DDoSers are an annoying, yet begrudgingly accepted part of the game, having someone with the absolute authority to boot anyone at any time outraged many players. As we move along, keep in mind all of these things are still stewing in the background. Getting rich by ripping off other players wasn't enough. not when he could also be winning cash prizes in competitions. Jed finally pushed it too far in the 2017 Dead Man Tournament when a $20,000 grand prize had to be divided between charity and the first runner-up after the winner was disqualified. The tournament began with the Dead Man Invitational, where players competed to rank in the top 2,000 of the Autumn Season game mode. Those who made it through were given new characters for a chance to survive another week on a special permadeath server, and when only 200 remained, they were divided into four islands. Alliances are strictly prohibited in these circumstances, but seven ROT members on the Red Island did just that. Jagex repeatedly warned each one to fight or be removed, and in the end, all seven were indeed disqualified. Of the many, less than intelligent decisions made throughout this tale, this one particularly confused me. They basically forfeited despite making it so far into the tournament. Finally, the last 10 players face off at RuneFest until only one remains. This year, that player was 5 plus 50k12, but the numerous problems and complaints experienced during gameplay couldn't be overlooked. Some would argue that 5 plus being a member of ROT was reason enough to be suspicious. This is the same clan accused of making real-life threats and doxing people to get their way in previous tournaments after all, but this time they grew bolder than ever. The winner wasn't particularly skilled. Several players came close to beating him, yet somehow each and every one was DDoS'd, leaving their characters frozen and at his mercy in the tournament. There were people who suspected Jed was either doing it himself or leaking the IP addresses. Jagex released a statement saying 5plus was responsible for the creation of a bot farm, and though they acknowledged allegations of staff favoritism, they did not elaborate further or indicate if there would be any ongoing investigations. I can see why they wouldn't want to admit an employee had not only participated in a competition but used his position to cheat. Had Jed not been guilty of so many other things, it would have likely been forgotten over time, but as each issue seemed to be at an end, another one was brought to light. Unfortunately, things would only get worse from here. While it was the last tournament to have these specific issues, it was nowhere near the end of Mod Jed's interference. Jagex forced him to step down from ROT as a consequence, but no official actions were taken to enforce the punishment. While Jed claimed to have complied, the only thing holding him to the ruling was his word, which many rightly lacked confidence in. In 2018, a player who goes by Mazrum posted to Reddit claiming 45 billion gold was stolen from his account. Knowing this would be met with skepticism, he got the basics out of the way with his title. It said, "No one wants to hear this, but there is a serious data breach around some well-trusted source in RuneScape." He wasn't sure if it was an employee of OzBuddy, RuneLight, or Jagex, but he did suspect there was a possible connection with the IP leaks on Deadman. His post begins by stating at least five other people, some fellow streamers, have reached out to him after losing large sums of gold. While Mazrum's account did not have the extra step PIN security, some of the others did, yet they were still hacked. That isn't to say Mazrum's account wasn't well secured. The email he used for his login was a Gmail account with two-step verification, and no one else knew what it was. Hell, he claims to have specific dummy accounts to throw off anyone who might try getting into his main account, along with the standard precautions that you'd expect. It seems Jed didn't waste his time picking victims at random, either. He had a way of filtering out the rich ones. Mazrum and some of the others he spoke with were approached by a player in the duel arena who asked for a particularly high-stakes match, but when they agreed and sent him the invitation, the player declined. At the time this happened, they each thought it was strange, but not necessarily malicious, and certainly not something that would result in the loss of all of their hard work. Even more concerning to Mazrum was the possible exposure of his credit card information. The last four digits were required as part of the account recovery questions. If Jagex stored the passwords in plain text, and as it turned out, they did, it wasn't a far leap to assume it was all stored the same way. Unfortunately, his claims were widely dismissed by the community. That he sold the gold himself, or lied altogether, was more believable than a rogue moderator hacking into his account. For months, he was ridiculed or ignored until Jagex finally vindicated him with a statement that September. They said, "We confirm that a member of the old school team was dismissed from employment at Jagex following gross misuse of moderator privileges. During our rigorous routine system checks, irregular activity was identified on a small number of accounts, including the movement of wealth and items back into the live game. Following our investigation, we were able to resolve the issue before any significant impact was made to the wider game economy. We have also taken steps to return items and GP to any affected accounts. We are actively working with the police regarding the incident, but given this is an ongoing legal matter, we are unable to provide further details." While Mod Jed was not named as the culprit, his Twitter account being shut down along with his name being removed from their website and a few other telltale signs pointed curious parties in his direction. The fact that Jagex refunded those affected was all the confirmation the community needed. Anyone who's had dealings with them before knew their policy was very strict in that regard. No one gets refunds. Period. I like to imagine the reactions from the police when they initially reported the theft of video game currency. It's no extra expense for Jagex to respawn the missing items, yet they were sold at considerable cost. According to a Risa Terra thread, Mazrum was far from the only victim. It's believed Jed was, allegedly, able to steal in excess of 100 billion gold in total. The amount he was able to make in the real world has been widely speculated. Black market prices fluctuate often, but estimates range anywhere from 100,000 to 500,000 pounds for the market value at that time. If you were to price it at the game market value, the total would be in the millions. Once the extent of his crimes were brought to light, many became frustrated with Jagex for knowing player information was at risk, yet doing nothing to warn the community. Those who tend to use the same password for everything were at particular risk, but their statement glossed over the incident like it was a minor issue. You would think that this is the perfect place in the story to say, and thus an arrest warrant was issued and police quickly apprehended Jed. But that's not even close. There are no further updates directly from Jagex, and the updates that are out there tend to vary. Research done by YouTube's Pupsker claimed the FBI arrived at Jed's home, but he wasn't there. Afterwards, rumors placed him in Argentina, but those were soon disproven when an unexpected guest appeared at RuneFest only a few weeks later. Jed couldn't go into the actual building, but he spent his time in the bar area. It seems he concluded the biggest event of the year was the perfect time to approach old friends and plead his case. He has maintained a claim of total innocence to this day, but you won't be surprised to learn I was unable to find a single person who doubted his guilt. I was unable to find any other instance where police interacted with Jed, but in November, he filed a complaint against Jagex for wrongful termination, and won. Well, sort of. He didn't get the money he wanted, but a hearing finally took place in January of this year, and in February, the UK Employment Tribunal agreed he was unfairly terminated. If that sounds strange to you, I'll explain. The hearing had nothing to do with his guilt or innocence. That one simple yes or no question was the only thing that mattered. Even though you can hear the evidence against him and think, well, yeah, he's clearly guilty. It's not so simple when it comes to the legal system. Jed argued that his guilt was predetermined before a proper investigation could be conducted. It made no difference that Jagex had CCTV footage, phone logs, and piles of other evidence proving their case. What mattered is the company asserted Jed's guilt before any investigation had occurred. The tribunal concluded the evidence possessed at that time was only speculative, and the outcome may have been different had the investigation been conducted fairly. With that part of his case won, another judge would rule on compensation. Jed wanted over £11,000 for lost wages, and he wanted his job back, but the remedy judgment ruled the investigation would have likely found the same result regardless of the supposed bias. The amount was reduced to zero, and his request for reinstatement was, thankfully, denied. If there has been any news since this, I can't find it, but rest assured I'll keep my eyes open. Who knows if Jagex would even want to pursue any legal action now that this is finally behind them. But what do you guys think? Is Mod Jed innocent or guilty? The OSRS podcasts and Oak Dice YouTube channels covered these topics extensively as it was happening, so I highly recommend checking them out if you'd like to learn more. This episode of The Dark Side of Gaming was brought to you by The Dark Swamp Entertainment and produced by Swamp Dweller, backed by Audio Boom. The heart-pounding sound design was produced by Joey Sorlis. The creepy mysteries in this episode were brought together by Paige Turner. These dark tales were voiced and hosted by Derek Weber. Be sure to follow the podcast on iTunes and Spotify to get notified as soon as new episodes come out. And don't forget to rate it to let us know how we did, and leave a comment on what you would like to hear be covered in a future episode.